Morning Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So, I do just want to put this out here because I don't know how everybody feels about this. I don't want to know what everybody thinks. I want to know what you think. So, I was reading today. People that have anxiety. Do you think the audience knows that I have anxiety?
I think we all have a little bit of anxiety.
But I feel like I'm maybe a little too anxious sometimes.
Okay.
You know, about the right tackle and the right guard and the...
Sure.
Got a lot of anxiety. Apparently, the worst thing that you can do for that, caffeine and artificial sweeteners.
Mm-hmm. I could buy that.
I think that Diet Mountain Dew has to go.
That might be a double whammy there,
I think it's got to go. So just something I've been thinking about. Stillman & Company, the Titans have put out their first depth chart. Now, it is the unofficial depth chart. Now, I don't really know what that means when they say unofficial. It's printed on Titans stationery. It's distributed by the Titans public relations staff. It emanates from the Titans. If by unofficial you mean Brian Callahan did not sign and date it, I guess I get it. But I have a hard time believing, as Mike Vrabel once tried to get people to think, I have a very difficult time believing that the coach did not sign off on this. I know the people who do PR for the Titans, they do good work. And I know that they're not just sitting there running roughshod saying, all right, let's put something together. Now, if they were to just have an unofficial depth chart, just, hey, you know, we've been at practice every day, so here's the depth chart for Charles Davis and Paul Burmeister and the guys calling the game, along with Mike Keith and Coach Mack and then whoever calls it for the 49ers, if they were to say, hey, here's kind of the, then that'd be one thing. But it's not. This is distributed to everybody. So I don't exactly know what the word unofficial means. But they do put that in there, and I think they do that. So it's like, whoa, 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 this is just a rough draft. This isn't all serious. This isn't so on and so forth. But again, like I said, I am making the assumption that the coach has his fingerprints on this depth chart. So I found a couple of things that were incredibly fascinating to me. Number one is this. The Titans are clearly giving Treylon Burks the first shot to replace DeAndre Hopkins, because if you look at the second unit, Treylon Burks is listed behind DeAndre Hopkins. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is behind Calvin Ridley. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise that they're going to give Burks the first shot to replace Hopkins, because the coach has gone on record and said that they're going to give Burks the first opportunity to replace Hopkins. But I do wonder how much of this is, hey, we're going to make Treylon Burks earn this opportunity. So we're going to put him out there. He's going to start against San Francisco. He's going to get all the first team reps in DeAndre's spot tomorrow. And we're going to see how he does and then adjust. Or how much of this is, hey, if DeAndre's out, Treylon is in, and we'll just give him the spot. Because the last 2 years, Treylon Burks has been just given the spot. This year, I think he should be first in line. But if DeAndre is going to be out, and again, DeAndre might be out for 2 games. If DeAndre is going to be out and Burks is going to go in there, I want Burks to earn that spot, because I know what the baseline is that I'm getting from NWI. Burks, at this point, has not met that. Now, is Burks, in theory, because he's more talented, is he capable of that? Sure. But he hasn't actually met it yet. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, the backup to Arden Key is Rashad Weaver, which means that the Titans, and it's not this coaching staff is new, but the Titans are going to give Rashad Weaver his, 10,000th chance to prove that he can actually play in the NFL, this time as the backup to Arden Key. Now, let me state for the record, I am not a Rashad Weaver guy at all. Weaver was supposed to be the guy who, when Harold Landry went down in 2022, we thought, okay, well, we're going to see what they do, but they're going to put Weaver in there and he's going to get the first crack at it. And Weaver made 6 starts. And they gifted him Harold Landry's position the same way that they're kind of gifting Treylon Burks DeAndre Hopkins' spot right now. Weaver had 5.5 sacks that year, replacing a 10-sack guy in Landry. And by week 6, he was out of the starting lineup, and Mario Edwards Jr., some guy they just signed, although I always liked Mario Edwards when he was with the Titans, Mario Edwards Jr. took his spot. So again, it's a new coaching staff. That was Vrabel and his guys. But I'm down on Rashad Weaver. I think I've seen enough when it comes to Rashad Weaver to know that he's probably closer to being the 45th to 50th guy on the roster than he is being close to being a top 22 guy. For instance, one of these running backs is going to quote-unquote start, and the other is going to be the backup. We don't know who it's going to be, but I feel like Spears or Pollard, whoever that other guy is much closer to 22 than they are to 45. I think Weaver is closer to 50 than he is to 22. But they're going to give him another shot. He's going to get an opportunity to replace Arden Key, and we'll watch Weaver for the umpteenth time screw up, and this coaching staff will just have to realize that's who he is. Which, by the way, Corey Curtis and I were talking about this on the sideline at practice a couple days ago. He did blow that Kansas City game. We talk about Malik Willis and how Malik started, and oh, they would have won if they had had a competent quarterback, and that's true. And they probably would have won if Chris Conley had caught the ball, and he didn't catch the ball. But Weaver blew contain on two separate Patrick Mahomes scrambles. So, great. Weaver's going to get chance 9,000. Number 3 on the depth chart. Jaron Christian is the backup left tackle, which makes me think he's the swing tackle because it ain't going to be John Ojukwu who's backing up at right tackle. But Jaron Christian, I looked this up today, Jaron Christian has 125 career snaps at right tackle and 1,700 snaps in his career at left tackle. But I think it's very telling. The Titans are telling you what they think by saying, hey, Christian's the backup left tackle. And Bill Callahan said last week, you got to get the swing tackle ready. I think Jaron Christian is the swing tackle of this football team. They woke up this morning. Now, Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT might lose his spot. Like, he might go out there and stink. So far, I think they think, hey, Latham's going to play left tackle. PT's going to play right tackle. And Christian's going to be the swing tackle. Because Ojukwu and Duncan, I think they know after 2 weeks. Yeah, they're not very good. The fourth thing, Cedric Gray is the third-team linebacker. Kenneth Murray and Jack Gibbons start. Garrett Wallow, whoever the hell that is, Garrett Wallow and Chance Campbell are the second-string guys, which means that Cedric Gray is third-team. That should not be a surprise. Too many people talked themselves into this idea around the draft that they could take a guy with the 106th pick and that guy at 106 could start on day one and wear a green dot. Folks, Puka Nacua is the exception. He is not the rule. You normally do not get day one starters on day three of the draft. Number 5 in this depth chart, the unofficial Titans depth chart that came officially from the Titans. Luke Gifford and Daniel Brunskill are probably going to need to be looking for new teams. Because Gifford, I believe, is like a third team inside backer. Gifford is $2 million in cash this year. And Brunskill is $3.4 million in cash. And he is not competing at right guard nor right tackle. He is right now the backup center. So between those two guys, that's about an extra $5.5 million. And these two guys are third team players right now. They will not be on this football team. So that's an extra $5.5 million. Remember, Quandre Diggs is $3 million, and he's a starter. So Luke Gifford and Daniel Brunskill, be looking for another team if I were those guys. And then finally, did you see the punt return battle? I was a little surprised by this. Mason Kinsey 1, Kyaris Jackson 2, Kyle Phillips 3. Which led me to ask the question. They took Jaquan Jackson in the 6th round. How does he make the team if he's not in the running at punt returner? Again, this team is going to carry, what, 6 receivers? Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, Burks, and NWI. That's 5. All 5 of those guys are making the team, period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. The punt returner has to make the team. So in this case, let's say it's Kinsey. Now, again, I think this is still a battle and it's far from over. But let's say it's Kinsey. That's six. Now, they're going to carry Jaquan Jackson as a seventh receiver? I have a hard time believing that. So when it comes to the Titans and the receivers they're going to take, I know they drafted Jaquan Jackson in the sixth round. I know. Hey, we had to get rid of Kevin Byard, Jared, because we had to get young players on the team. But I don't think that sixth-round pick, it's not looking like he's going to make the team if he doesn't return punts. Because you're not taking him over NWI. Now, in theory, they could call the punt returner up off the practice squad every week, but you can only do that three times during the season. So that's where we stand. Those were kind of my initial, ooh, okay. Rashad Weaver, oh, he's going to get chance number 5,000 from looking at the initial depth chart. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a position on this team that I believe will have a starter against the Chicago Bears who is not on it right now. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
If I know your dad, I feel like he will make sure that you guys run the ball and have a excellent offensive line.
Yes.
He is one of the best. Certainly a pretty good addition to this coaching staff. You guys added to his offensive line in the draft, mm-hmm. taking J.C. Latham. Obviously, you have Skoronski, who seems bigger this year.
But yeah, bigger, stronger. He looks really good so far.
And you added Cushenberry. I know there's five of them, but those three should be really solid and talented. What have you seen from that side and then Latham specifically?
Yeah, I think we have a really cool collection of young talent there between J.C., Peter, and Lloyd. Obviously, Lloyd's just in his second contract, and he's played really well over his first 4 years in the league. And so to feel like that side is cemented for the foreseeable future, and J.C.'s had a great start, obviously making a transition from right to left. Really done a nice job, and you see all of his power and strength and all those things that made him a top 10 pick. Peter's bigger, stronger, has looked really good as a second-year player. And then our job is to find the right side and where we're going to find who's going to start a right tackle and right guard. And I think we'll be able to put together a pretty good group of five guys. And, again, you got three really core, solid players, two high first-round picks, and you got to fix the rest of it to make it a competitive line. So excited about where those guys are at.
Okay, that was Brian Callahan this weekend on NFL Network, and I have to give him credit because – he at least tells you the things you already know, which I know you're going to sit there and say, well, oh, great, he tells me things I already know. But Mike Vrabel would never sit there and say, like, hey, we feel good about the left side of the line, but we have got to figure out the right side of the line. Because I remember last year at the beginning of camp when Nicholas T. Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
When PT, Nick Frazier, don't be messing up my PT. I remember, I love Nick Frazier. I remember when I asked Vrabel, I said, are you nervous about the right side of the line? And he said, I'm not nervous. I'm excited to coach these guys. I mean, we've got Jamarco Jones, and we've got Andrew Rupchich, and we've got OJ. And obviously that's John Ajukwu, but I'm like, who is OJ? Who is that? I don't know. And so I remember, I'm like, oh, okay, good. And being lied to by the head coach, and it's obvious that he does not think that Rupchich is going to be starting there. In this case, Brian Callahan is saying, like, hey, we feel okay about the left side. We're worried about the right, and he should be. Now, when I looked at the depth chart, I was a little surprised to see Sadiq Charles number one and Dylan Radens number two, because in the depth chart at tight end, they have Chigakonkwo / Josh Wiley. At running back, they have Tony Pollard / Tajay Spears. So I was expecting that at right guard, we'd probably see Sadiq Charles / Dylan Radens. But we haven't. And both Charles and Radens, in my opinion, have been unimpressive so far at training camp. And the Titans aren't even trying Daniel Brunskill out at that spot. So I'm not sure that the right tackle that is going to be the starting right tackle for the Tennessee Titans week one at Chicago, I'm not even sure that guy's on the team. Again, I was shocked to see that there was not a or between Radens and Charles battling for that right guard spot, since, again, Brian Callahan has talked about how, hey, it's going to be a real competition in training camp when it comes to the right side of the line, both right tackle and right guard. So what I think's happening is I think they're saying, hey, the only guy that we have that is even capable of starting at right guard is Sadiq Charles. So we're going to try. We're going to give it to him this week, and we're going to try it out. Now, I get Andre Dillard at guard vibes from Sadiq Charles. He has the size. He played on a good college team, but he's not good. And he was not good in Washington. With Raidens, I don't really know what the plan is or why the Titans didn't let him compete at right tackle. I guess they're really banking on PT at right tackle. But the right guard spot feels like a we'll figure it out eventually position. And we've seen the Titans figure it out on the fly at right guard, right? I don't know if you guys remember, but I mean, I remember when they claimed Josh Klein off of waivers when they had that number one claiming spot in 2016, and Josh Klein was their starter for 3 years. So it's possible. Again, not likely, but possible. So I think Bill Callahan's going to give Sadiq Charles every opportunity, two padded practices this week, preseason game on Saturday, and then if they don't like what they see, then I think they pull the plug. And they start trying other people. They start looking the waiver wire. They start looking the claim route. You know, they start looking even to trade maybe in order to find a right guard. But I do not think the right guard is on this football team right now. I think they're going to go with PT at right tackle, even though it's only been two practices and I only saw one of them. I think they're going to go with PT. But I don't think the right guard is on the team. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. We got some texts on Rashad Weaver. Ian, I'm a little surprised by this. By the way, before I get into these Rashad Weaver texts, do you agree with me that, like, Rashad Weaver's,
I mean, we've been waiting for him for a couple of years now, and he hasn't really done anything. And so I'm not really sure what's going to all of a sudden, you know, flip on right now.
I mean, I think Weaver has the ability to be good. I just don't think he ever will be good. And yeah. I think it's the mental errors, right?
Maybe,
It's the blowing the assignment.
Maybe he can get some new, you know, some new coaching, mature. Maybe that will help. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what we're hoping with PT. So, I mean, unfortunately, it sounds like the Titans may be counting on too many of those. And look, this is not Weaver's fault, and it's not the coaching staff's fault. It's Arden Key's fault for taking Flintstone vitamins that apparently were laced with andro-epinephestine fin in it, and that's why he's going to be out whenever he decides he's going to talk about it. I saw this weekend Arden Key took questions but said no questions about the suspension. Okay. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. One texter says, Weaver had 5.5 sacks. Those are Jeffrey Simmons' numbers. Not at outside backer pass rusher. No. If Dallas Turner, for instance, or Leatu Latu gets 5.5 sacks over 3 years, Indy and Minnesota failed. I mean, again, Landry last year did not have a great year by Landry standards, and he still was a double-digit sack guy. So, no, 5.5 sacks. When Vrabel and company pulls the plug on you that quickly, that's a concern. Andrew says, Weaver is hands down the worst player I have ever seen at setting the edge. Literally every time you need a big play, just run towards Weaver. I would agree with that, but there was one play in the Giants game, the first game of the 22 season, when Weaver really got an opportunity because Landry tore his ACL a week before the season, and so Weaver was put out there. And I mean, I felt bad for Weaver because the tackle just held his pad, and I'm like, flag! And they wouldn't throw it, and then they show the replay, and he's holding it there. So that's the one. But that Kansas City game, and he can make every excuse he wants to because he does not take blame for what happened in that Kansas City game. That was all his fault. That rush lane integrity was all his fault. And, of course, he's not going to say, I screwed up. But he screwed up. One texter into the text line says, this team clearly stunk last year, so I'm not a fan of this new coaching staff giving opportunities under their watch like they haven't had opportunities in the past. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, Burks, Weaver, all example of guys getting opportunities that we've all seen enough of. Yes-ish. The Burks thing? I'm fine with giving Burks the opportunity right now. And if he doesn't earn it, and DeAndre is not ready for Chicago, sticking NWI at wide receiver. I am all for that. if they're just going to put Burks out there because, well, he was drafted in the first round, so let's just put him out there, then I have a problem. As far as Weaver, again, you give him a chance, but do not be afraid to pull the plug on him very quickly. PT, I do have a problem with that.
You think they'll look for another edge rusher by the end of camp?
I see, Paul brought this up last week, and I don't think it's a bad point. Paul said that he thinks that they signed Shane Ray knowing that Arden Key was going to get a 6-game suspension.
You still think that's enough, though, between Landry, Ray, and Weaver?
No, but I can't. I'm not going to sign a guy for 6 weeks. That's like a guy's ankle's bad, and he's out for a month, and it's like signing a guy to play receiver because DeAndre might be out for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, not 6 games, and Key's going to be out for 6 games, but a little
fair different. Point.
Ron says, isn't Brunskill a center? Right now he's the backup center, but Brunskill played right guard last year. He was a starting right tackle for a year with San Francisco. Brunskill can kind of play everywhere, and it doesn't sound like they're letting him play anywhere, which is surprising. One texter says, hey, Jared, do the Titans have somebody that you could see potentially getting a couple touchdowns on kick returns this year? I mean, they're going to – Spears is at the top of the list, which I kind of like, you know?
Yeah, based on just what we saw from the Hall of Fame game, I feel like Spears might be able to fit that.
Adam in Portland says, Jared, I have asked the other shows, but I may be most interested to see what you have to say. If you were the Chicago Bears, how would you beat the Titans, both offensively and defensively? What are you attacking constantly? Well, I'm lining up Montez Sweat opposite PT. That's the first thing I'm doing. The second thing I'm doing, because if DeAndre is out, I'm sticking Jalen Johnson on Calvin Ridley. And then the third thing I'm doing, if I'm the Chicago Bears, is I am probably going Roma Dunze's way, because I would assume Legarius Sneed will get DJ Moore. And I would just wait till they line up in zone and just pepper Cole Kmet the whole time. 615-737-1025. Adam will have more on that in about 5 weeks. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there is a big name on the trade market, and the Titans are not involved at all. Can I ask why? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. That is our phone number if you want to weigh in here on the program. The Game Summer Ticket Tour presented by Green River Whiskey has just one more stop left. Join Big Joe Dubin at Fog Street Lawn Care at 648 Fog Street this Thursday from 4 to 6, where he will have your chance to win free tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Weezer, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix.
In the meantime, I will give you stuff that's going to echo that for sure. Now, look, we've had the Patriots mentioned. We have the Browns mentioned. We have the Steelers mentioned. And again, we've had a return to San Francisco mentioned as well. There are multiple avenues in which this could go. Brandon Ayuk has a huge say in it, as you just said there, Tom, with regard to the contract part of this, because no team is going to make this trade and give up draft capital and or players and not be sure that they have Brandon Ayuk locked up for the long term. What seems to be clear is that if and when he is traded, and I would say we're closer to a trade than we are to him staying in San Francisco at this point, he is going to make more than the 49ers offered him. How much more? That might depend on the team that he winds up with, because it sounds like some teams have been a little bit more aggressive than others with regard to the financials. But Ayuk has a few destinations in mind. One of them was Washington. He made that clear as he made the social media videos that he posted with his buddy Jaden Daniels here. We have not heard Washington the Commanders bubbling up as of recently as far as them being one of the top contenders right now. Those other teams that have been mentioned, yeah, they're in play as well.
That was Mike Garofolo on NFL Network talking about the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes, and it sounds like it's down to Cleveland and New England. Ian, do we have an update on Ayuk?
Pittsburgh's back in the mix.
They got back in the mix.
Back in the mix.
So they were out of the mix yesterday.
We're back, baby.
They're back in the mix. Adam Schefter was on McAfee like an hour ago, and he said Pittsburgh was out of the mix.
Well, he tweeted about, I don't know, 40-something minutes ago that they're back.
How Diana Russini of him. So, apparently, they're in the mix. So there's three teams in the mix. Washington has taken themselves out of consideration. They're not interested in Brandon Ayuk. And I don't understand why Washington would be interested in Brandon Ayuk. I mean, they're already paying Terry McLaurin a bunch of money. They drafted Jahan Dotson in the first round. Like, other than the fact that he and Jaden Daniels are friends, I'm not exactly sure why Washington would spend the money in the Capitol in order to go get Brandon Ayuk. But it takes me to this, which is, why weren't the Titans involved in the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes? Because on one hand, sure, they signed Calvin Ridley in free agency. We've got the Sumer Sports people, the analytic gurus. They're coming in studio at 3 o'clock to explain their whole analytic thing. But, I mean, the guy who runs Sumer Sports, Thomas Dimitrov, the old general manager of the Falcons, he said before the draft and before free agency, he was like, do not sign a wide receiver because these receivers this year are so good. And the Titans went and signed Calvin Ridley. So is it because they signed Ridley and they had Hopkins that they said, no, we're good? Is it because they figured, hey, if we sign Calvin Ridley, that's $50 million. That's it. Because it's $50 million guaranteed. So it's $50 million bucks, and we've got him for the next 2 years. We've got him for longer than that if he ends up meeting our expectations. So that's good. And thus, we're not going to waste the draft capital in order to get Brandon Ayuk. You know, apparently the rumors are that New England and Cleveland have agreed to a deal with San Francisco. Now the question is, can they agree to a deal with Ayuk? Well, I got to believe that as far as a first-round pick is concerned, I'm guessing that, again, if A.J. Brown is worth a first and a third, then my guess is Ayuk is probably worth a mid to late first-round pick. Well, the Cleveland Browns can deal their first-round pick with the assumption that it's a mid to late first-round pick, and okay, we'll trade you our one, and you give us Brandon Ayuk. That would make sense. New England, it would make no sense to trade a first-round draft choice for Brandon Ayuk because that might be the fourth pick in the draft. So my guess is with New England, it's probably involving their second-round draft choice, not their first-round draft choice. But again, when it comes to Ayuk, why were the Titans not in there? Because Ayuk is a better player than Calvin Ridley. And this looks like this has been bubbling up for a while between Ayuk and the 49ers. You know, on draft night, there was chatter that they, once they took Ricky Pearsall in the first round out of Florida, that they were going to turn around and they were going to trade Brandon Ayuk. Well, that was before you signed Tyler Boyd. If it got out on draft night that Ayuk wanted out, he probably wanted out well before then, and he was probably far, far, far away from terms with San Francisco on a new deal. So if Rand Carthon is Mr. Relationship and Mr. Tight End, should the Titans have not been in the Ayuk sweepstakes? And even right now, I think to myself, Will Levis is a young quarterback who a lot of people want to anoint as a great quarterback right now, which I'm not ready to do, but a lot of people want to do it. So I understand. But I think we can all agree that you want a bona fide number one to go with your young quarterback. One of the great things about Peyton Manning in Indianapolis was the year before he was drafted in 98, they drafted Marvin Harrison in the first round in 97. It certainly hasn't hurt Joe Burrow that they drafted T. Higgins with their second pick in the 2020 draft, and they drafted Ja'Marr Chase with their first pick in 2021. So while Ridley and Boyd and Hopkins, that's okay, it certainly, Brandon Ayuk would be the best of that group. And the proof would be in the contract, because Ayuk is going to come in at around $30 million a year. So when it comes to the Titans and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not advocating, hey, get into the Ayuk sweepstakes now because they've already paid Calvin Ridley and because I think next year's first-round draft choice is very, very valuable. That is your Will Levis insurance. If Will Levis sucks and you're picking third and you could be in the discussion for a quarterback, then you want to make sure that you have that third pick. But why were they not in the discussions before this? Is it simply because they put up on the whiteboard, what would we rather have? Ridley at $50 million over the next 2 years as compared to Ayuk, which is probably $90 million over the next 3 years, plus the draft choice that we'd have to trade in order to get Ayuk. So let's just go with Ridley because that's the bird in the hand. Is it because they think they might actually have something in Treylon Burks? Again, I'm asking the question here because I don't know. Because, again, Brandon Ayuk, and I don't think Brandon Ayuk is as good as Justin Jefferson. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is as good as Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams or those kind of guys. He's a number one receiver. The Titans have been chasing A.J. Brown from the second that they traded A.J. Brown. They chased A.J. Brown by trying to draft Treylon Burks and making him A.J. Brown. That didn't work. They chased A.J. Brown by signing DeAndre Hopkins. And DeAndre Hopkins was good, but DeAndre was not A.J. Brown. And then they chased it again by signing Calvin Ridley. And you can't tell me that the Titans don't value the capital at receiver because they spent a bunch of money on Ridley. And also, they were going to take Malik Nabers or Marvin Harris. I don't know this for a fact. I feel very certain that they were going to take Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison with the 7th pick if they were there. So, again, I can't sit here today and tell you that, hey, maybe there's a chance that if they were interested in Brandon Ayuk that they called and the agent said maybe Brandon Ayuk didn't want to come here. That's a possibility. Maybe they picked up the phone, called San Francisco, and in March, San Francisco said no, they signed Ridley. It's like, okay, we're on our way. But Brandon Ayuk is a legitimate number one who's at the same point in his career, essentially, that A.J. Brown was when you traded him to Philly. Would this be trading for Brandon Ayuk? Would this have been your way of getting back your A.J. Brown that you gave up? So, again, I just am kind of keeping an eye on this, and I know the Titans are out. And I understand why Pittsburgh and New England are in. They have very, very, very low payrolls. I also know why Cleveland's in. That's a different discussion for a different day. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the Titans, they pride themselves on relationships, and Ran is, you know, he knows everybody, and I'm like, well, this is a 49er guy, and it sounds like they either assume they couldn't get him or they'd rather have Ridley and the draft choice than Ayuk, which is fair. But I just wonder why the Titans weren't involved when we know what the premium for a top receiver is. And right now, Brandon Ayuk counts as a top receiver. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. We'll get to your phones. Plus, the two teams involved on Ayuk, and I guess now it's three with Pittsburgh, the two teams involved with Ayuk, New England and Cleveland. I understand why they both want him. But I'm not sure that in some cases it comes from a great spot. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. Hiller has taken great care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. I promise you that they can do the exact same for you. Summer is over, and it's time to get ready for school to start. Ian, you said school starts this week?
Yes, it does.
School starts this week. So even though the kids are headed back to school, you can leave the homework to Hiller. Because this month, enjoy back-to-school savings with offers like a $99 drain cleaning, $500 off select high-efficiency HVAC systems, $500 off new tankless water heaters, and $1,000 off of whole home generators. Visit happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
As of last night, we had some new developments in this story, and they could be very significant. Jeff Darlington is my insider extraordinaire. Jeff, go.
Greeny, first and foremost, a very happy birthday. And for your birthday, I give you some salacious and delicious news when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. Because overnight, Matt Maiocco, a longtime beat reporter for the 49ers, reported that there is framework in place for a potential trade with multiple teams. Now, that includes the Browns and the Patriots. Now, let me unpack this for you because there's a lot to this. Now, our ESPN reporters are also all over this. The Browns have been interested for quite a while now. So, too, have the Patriots. But right now, we're moving the chains a little bit forward because Now it's about trade compensation, and it's about the actual compensation to Brandon Ayuk in the form of a new contract. Now this is where it gets especially interesting. Ayuk still has the ability to completely squash all of this by simply saying, I don't like the contract offers from the Browns or the Patriots and stay with the 49ers. The 49ers too could squash this by saying, we don't like the trade compensation from the Browns or the Patriots. But the point here is, the conversations are extremely intense right now. They are ongoing, and it does feel like, at least in this regard, we are moving towards some resolution when it comes to Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers.
That was Jeff Darlington this morning. I don't feel like we're any closer to a resolution. Kyle Shanahan just met with the media at 49er practice. He says nothing's changed as far as Brandon Ayuk is concerned. And Ian, you said the Steelers are now back in the mix.
They're back, baby.
On Brandon Ayuk. So there are three teams that are in the mix here. And again, I understand the Titans not being in the mix. My first round pick's off the table, and I already paid a freaking bag to bring in Calvin Ridley. But when it comes to the other teams available, I know why all these teams are interested in Ayuk. In the case of the Steelers, they're interested in Ayuk because they've had some rotten apples at wide receiver. Deontay Johnson, they had to get rid of him. George Pickens, it looks like he's a constant problem. So, you know what?
Just they don't really have a wide receiver one, yeah.
But I think it's Pickens.
Yeah, well, like you just said, I think he's not quite there ready to fully take that role.
Agreed. And so with a new quarterback and everything else, it's like, okay, let's think about it. But I don't really understand why the Steelers would be interested in Ayuk if a first-round pick's involved, because they may be drafting a quarterback this year. So I would be a little skeptical of that. But, hey, maybe they think signing Ayuk or trading for Ayuk would then allow them to sign Dak Prescott or something like that in the offseason. So Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh's like kind of lukewarm anyways. And it kind of feels like for Pittsburgh, they need to pull the plug on Tomlin at some point. They just don't want to do it. Number two, Cleveland. I think Cleveland would want to make this move only because the owner is so desperate to prove that he's not a fool for that Deshaun Watson contract. So what he'll do is he'll go get anybody that he can add to his team that he can put around his, what I would say is probably permanently damaged quarterback that he's paying $46 million a year to and he doesn't have a choice on. But does an extra $30 million a year plus the picks that it would take to get Ayuk, does that actually take Cleveland from what I would call a pretender? They made the playoffs last year, but they were never going to win. They're not going to go through the loaded AFC and win the three games, you know, beat Mahomes, beat Allen, beat Burrow, beat Lamar, beat Stroud, beat Aaron. Like, they're not going to do that, even if they add Brandon Ayuk. So does that take them from pretender to contender? I doubt it. So I'm not sure I really like the idea for Cleveland to sit there and say, okay, we're going to go trade for Amari Cooper, and we're going to give him a boatload of money. We're going to trade for Jerry Jeudy, and we're going to give him a boatload of money. And we're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, and we're going to give him a boatload of money. I'm not sure I totally get that. The other team involved is the one team this makes a lot of sense for, and that's New England. Because as long as it doesn't involve their first-round pick next year, because, again, that might be pick number three, I think you make the move. They lost out on Calvin Ridley, and they don't have a wide receiver number one. They drafted Jalen Polk in the second round, and while I wouldn't play Drake May right away, you are building the team around Drake May, and a number one receiver is a good place to start. So if it's a second rounder and a third rounder in 26, do it. Because now what you're doing is you're really building something around Drake May while you bring Drake May along. It's not about, this move's not about this year. For Cleveland, this move would be about this year. This move is about having Brandon Ayuk be the number one guy for Drake May, and that way he knows when he gets in there, hey, throw the ball to him. And then eventually, if your quarterback works out, then when Brandon Ayuk goes away, he should be the force multiplier that then makes those other guys better. I.e., when Mahomes got his job, it was Hill and Kelsey. And then eventually Mahomes got so good that it was okay for Tyreek to go away. That's what you have to do if you're New England. And I don't know if there's a path to a true number one receiver other than waiting or getting lucky with Jalen Polk and him becoming A.J. Brown. So I get why all the teams would want to do it. But objectively speaking, the only team that this makes any sense for is New England. And then there's talk about, well, Ayuk might not want to go there. Well, I hate to break it to Brandon Ayuk, but you can't have it both ways. If you want the contract now, if you decide, hey, I'm going to play this year for San Francisco, and I'm going to let them tag me next year, because they probably will, so I'm going to play for San Francisco, and they're going to tag me, and I'm going to play on that, then you can pick where you go. But if you want to trade, you can't pick where you go. You can't say, oh, no, I don't want to go to New England or Cleveland. No, can't do that. Or else you'll never end up getting anything. Nothing can get done. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Ben says the 49ers got a good player that will be cheaper than Ayuk for 4 years, and he will be content. The Titans got a younger player that is better, and they pay him. Oh, hold on. This goes up a little bit and says, if you were the Niners, would you accept a first-rounder and Calvin Ridley? You're not trading a first-rounder and Calvin Ridley. You're also not trading Calvin Ridley. You don't sign a guy, turn around, and trade him before he plays a game for you. You can't do that. So that's not going to happen. But as far as, like, Ridley for Ayuk, I don't think that's a feasible move. I mean, at this point, I think you're out. But I'm surprised that if Ayuk was actually going to get moved, I'm a little surprised that the Titans weren't at some point in.
I guess San Francisco, like, they're in a win-now mode, though. You know? Like, I know they're not going to necessarily want a wide receiver or something back, but I'm just surprised they're willing to give up a wide receiver they need for draft picks, for future stuff.
Well, I think they were trying to hold out the way they held out with Debo, and I'm guessing that they just can't get a deal because they're going to have to give Brock Purdy $56 million next year. I mean, they're going to have to give Brock Purdy a $250 million contract.
Assuming he doesn't fall on his face this year.
And if he falls on his face this year, then you're not winning now. So, I mean, I think it's kind of simple as that. Skyler says the Titans aren't interested in Ayuk because they're going to go after T. Higgins next offseason. Ian Higgins or Brandon Ayuk?
I think I like Ayuk.
I would go with Ayuk as well. Jonathan in Chattanooga says, Jared, even TD says he'd rather have Calvin Ridley over Brandon Ayuk. Quit slighting Calvin Ridley. Ian? Calvin Ridley or Brandon Ayuk?
I think I like Ridley.
Like, straight up. Forget about the money where it's 23 for Ridley and it's 30 for...
I think he's more explosive.
Okay. So, that would be great. Except for the fact that Ayuk is 14.6 yards per reception in his career. Ridley is 13.5.
Okay, it's not that far off.
I mean, a yard, an entire yard for every catch that you make. I think it's probably a little.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I am lukewarm on Ayuk. I think he's good, but he's... Maybe I'm just, you know, giving too much credit to the offense and Shanahan and the whole system. And taking away too much from Ayuk. But
I think he's pretty good. Here's what their careers, Ayuk and Ridley. Ridley's played 66 games. Ayuk has played 62. So four more for Ridley, but that's actually a bad thing for Ridley because he missed an entire season for gambling, which is not good. Ridley does have more catches, 324 to 269. Thus, Ridley has more yards. Ridley also has more touchdowns, but Ayuk has more rushing stats. Ridley has 36 touchdowns to Ayuk's 25.
Yeah, they like to use Ayuk as like their big shot guy. You know, not as much of a possession t- type of guy.
Because that's
from what I understand.
That's what they use Samuel
and Debo and Kittle. Yeah.
So Michael in Madison says, I hear that Amari Cooper might be part of the compensation for Ayuk. So I saw that rumor on Twitter. So here's the problem with that. For you salary cap people out there, the Browns have already restructured Amari Cooper's contract. So Amari Cooper has a base salary of like $1.2 million this year, the veteran minimum. That's his base salary. So if they were to send Amari Cooper back to San Francisco in the deal, they will have already given Amari Cooper, and I don't know how much cash Amari Cooper's making this year, but it's north of $20 million.
They just gave him more to show up to camp.
Right. So they're giving him 20-something million, and they've already given it to him. All that's owed to him is $1.2 million. So if Cleveland were to make the deal and they were to include Amari Cooper in the trade, then they would essentially be paying $50-plus million this year, probably more than $50 million. Like, they would be paying more than $50 million, probably closer to $60 for Brandon Ayuk. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And if you're a salary cap person, which I am not, because of that, Amari Cooper would come with a dead cap charge of like $38 million. So you're going to bring in Brandon Ayuk. You're going to give him $35 million in cash this year. And you're going to take on, if you're a cap person, which again, I am not a cap person, but if you are a cap person, you're going to take on a $30 million dead cap charge. Owners do not like setting money on fire. I don't care how stupid the Cleveland owner is. He does not care. He is not that interested. What's funny is that one person texts in and says, put Ridley on the 49ers. He'd average more yards in San Francisco than Ayuk. Somebody else said Ridley has hands of stone. By the way, and I haven't been to every practice, and I know the first week they weren't wanting to throw it down the field, and I think that's going to be Ridley's game. I have not seen Ridley and Levis connect on a bomb. I've seen Ridley and NWI connect on a bomb. I've seen Ridley and Burks connect on, or Levis and NWI connect on a bomb. Seen Levis and Burks. I've not seen Levis and Ridley connect on a bomb yet. In fact, when Levis throws the ball down the field, and maybe this is them just trying to, you know, work out the kinks or something, but Levis overshoots Ridley by about 3 yards every time, which needs to stop. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So the nerds from Sumer Sports are in town. They're analytics people, and they are going to join us in studio. Now, you know how I feel about analytics, and they know how I feel about analytics. Analytics. Well, we have analytics, and we know, and so that's why we need to... And you went 5-12. But they want to come in studio. And I said, okay, let's do it. So they're going to bring in their lead college football analyst, Parker Fleming, their director of football technology, Krista Hayes, and their lead NFL draft analyst, Quinn McClain. And they probably charge these NFL teams like six figures in order to consult for them. And I guarantee you these NFL teams pay it. So what do they actually do? What do they actually know? And I will go into this with an open mind, just like I did at the Super Bowl when we had Eric Eager, who works for them, good man. We had him on, and we yelled about analytics. I will have an open mind. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the program. Analytics. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Indianapolis at 6:20 with the first pitch at 6:35. Sounds of Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.